Hey, Alan here.
And the Chris.
And just before the start of this week's episode, we would like to say thank you for listening and also to make you aware that if you enjoy this podcast, there are several other podcasts that we think you could enjoy. Firstly, starting with our own podcasts, I present the DCAU podcast with a friend of mine, Rebecca Hart, where we discuss the animated DC movies.
And if you love my dulcet tones, you can hear me on the Turning Heel podcast, a weekly professional wrestling podcast, the Tom Buckle Arms, which is a monthly professional wrestling podcast, or A Happening In, which is a crime slash ghost slash conspiracies slash weird stories podcast.
Also, if you enjoy a bit of robot combat podcasting and you want to hear some more, I really recommend checking out the Botcast list, the link for which is in the episode description. Finally, before we start this episode, a reminder that Rise of the Robots is protected under a Creative Commons 4.0 International Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike International License. Hello, I'm Alan.
I am the Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering Techno Games 2001, Day 8. So, we got a little bit of kayfabe moment. Just to explain, the Grizz is a bit not well, and I have a feeling he might not be well for the next 2 weeks.
It's just one of those long-term illnesses. I can just see it already happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we don't batch record these at all.
Hashtag not COVID, by the way.
Yeah, definitely not COVID. So, yeah, day 8 of Techno Games 2001. And, yeah, it's starting to ramp up. We're reaching the kind of the last few events. We're getting into semi-finals. In fact, I think the majority of the next 3 episodes are swimming and battery sprint, which are the 2 most attended events.
Yes, I'm not complaining about that whatsoever.
So, we start off with the battery sprint semi-final, and one other thing that the semi-finals have that the first round didn't is, so it'll be the fastest, well, it'll be the 2 winners,
mm-hmm.
followed by the fastest 2 runners-up,
mm-hmm.
which I find a wee bit dodgy, because by that logic, we have robots in the semi-final that didn't complete a course. And we have other robots that did complete the course, just not as fast as the robot they were racing in the first round.
Hmm.
So it is a bit weird.
I mean by that.
So our first semi-final is Millennium Bug, the big Robot Wars competitor.
Every time Millennium Bug comes up, I keep wanting to type down Millian Bug.
Oh, this robot is nowhere near as articulate. Scuttle, which now has a wooden spoon.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, they've stuck that to the front to stop it flipping over.
Yeah, we'll get back to that.
And next up is Junior by the Smith Brothers.
Which I feel is like this was the first time where the name of this robot was actually brought up, because it was only like after the fact that it raced in the last race did it come up with Junior on the sort of ending graphic saying, oh, Junior's won this race. And I was like, who the fuck is Junior? And then figured, oh, it's them.
So it's by this robot, by the Smith Brothers. Now, I don't know what it is. I seem to have this problem, Audacity, which is whenever I mention the Smith Brothers, the old Plunderbird theme comes up. I have no idea why it's doing that.
Ugh, it must just be voice activated.
I mean, I don't... So, the one thing that we do learn about Junior's robot is that it runs on the FART system.
Ah.
Which I do believe isn't really that green these days. I mean, it's giving off a lot of methane, which is not good.
No, I wouldn't say it would.
And finally, because one of these robots is not like the other, photophatophobia.
Yeah, there you go. You did mispronounce it.
Yes, that was always going to happen. I don't have to mispronounce it for long. I mean, at least this time it doesn't gouge the floor.
Yeah, I actually done slightly better with it this time, but photophatophobia.
That one.
Is the name.
So,
Skull shoots off and bounces off the wall and would have landed on its side if it wasn't for the giant stick. Because there is literally this shot in the replay where it goes in slow motion and you see Skull on its side practically, but the stick is there to bounce it back off.
It's weird because it seems more unstable in this race and, spoiler alert, the final, than it actually does in its first run, which is the one that it sets the world record in.
Yeah. I know, and that was them saying, oh, that we were only doing it at, like, what, half speed or something?
Yeah. And yet that's actually the fastest they do.
Yeah. Yeah, just it seemed as if, like, them trying to turn it up to make it speedier was actually, like, a disservice to the robot.
Absolutely. So, unsurprisingly, the robot that is able to, was having a terrible run for them, that's twice the time of their best performance, still has the ability to lap the field. Unsurprisingly, Scuttle's fastest.
Yep, so 7.01 seconds was the official result for Scuttle. And then, because of the potential of other robots making it to the final, we get Millia and Bug, which finished in 1 minute, 1.62 seconds, and Junior finishing in 1 minute, 21.61 seconds. So those two robots will sit on the sidelines and wait and see the other racing semi-final to see whether either of those two teams can be beaten.
So, in other words, the junior team is sitting there and waiting for the potential of someone performing worse than them or breaking down. I mean, they've been there and done that. We then go on to the two semi-finals for the swimming. And I do like that they do this because the idea is so that they can have the swimming final be the finale of one episode and the sprint finale be the end of the last episode, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm.
So, semi-final one, we have Snap, who's our big crocodile boy.
I love him.
Robo Bob, which is half giant slab of styrofoam.
Ugh.
Simosaurus, which is the robot that looks a wee bit like Nessie.
Yes.
K9000, which is
a good boy.
Very good boy. Best boy.
Ooh.
And Dippy Flippy, which is the robot that's made of bottles, which is surprisingly efficient.
Yes. But the thing that kind of disappointed me in this was, boom, Klaxon goes, they all go off, and, like, it's, for, like, that brief second, they were all kind of going at the same pace, and then K-9000 just beefs it down the pool, gets there in 23.49 seconds, and then you see Snap and Robobob, who have completed the race before, just stuck at the starting line at the end of all this and going, come on, you were the ones that finished, like, before. Like, what happened here?
I think the weird thing that seems to happen, because this becomes a factor in later races, K9000, because of the size of it, gives off a really huge wave when it moves.
Effect.
And one of the side effects of that is, if you are a smaller robot, like, for instance, Robobob, or I think Snap's quite hollow, I don't think it's that heavy, you can easily be kind of pointed in the wrong direction. And particularly if you're a robot that doesn't have a control, like, you're just kind of, I think a few of these robots are basically just pointed in one direction and let go.
Yeah, pretty much.
Then I can see how...
Robobob definitely was one of those.
So, we then have Dippy Flippy finishes second, and Swimosaurus finishes third, grinding its face against the wall again, I think.
2 minutes 28.65.
So at the moment, Swimosaurus and Dippy Flippy are the two slowest, the two fastest losers.
Mm-hmm. As we said, Snap and Robobob didn't finish, barely even got off the starting block.
And then we have the second semi-final, which has the returning champions, Calypso, which I still keep on seeing as having black puddings for floats.
Mmm.
And yep. Followed by Robo Ducky.
We're not going to go and see that next season.
I'd be honest, I barely remember Techno Games. It's one of the, unlike Robot Wars, I've completely forgotten huge chunks of it. Brutosaurus, which is the biggest, beefiest boy. XLR8, which somehow qualified even though it was about the 12th or 13th fastest time.
Yeah, exactly. There were people that were in other races that still managed to finish significantly quicker than XLR8. But just because that they ended up being the person that came in second in their respective race, Accelerate wins because it happened to be first.
And Hydra, which I've completely forgotten, it has completely and utterly disappeared from my mind. I don't know, maybe it's got like a flipper and axe combo, or maybe it wears a giant back bike rack. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe the future edition of Hydra is just going to have a giant triangular spinning cutter weapon.
I was referring to the two types of Hydra, actually, but...
Yeah, well, like, have you seen Hydra in the new season of BattleBots?
I have, actually.
Yeah, the big triangle thing that looks like Fusion's... big spinning weapon, but vertical.
Oh boy, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me wonder, is that just how they're going to run Hydra this year, or are you going to have the big beefy flipper, and that's just for things like if you face Hughes again?
Yeah, because it's a bit easier to justify than the bike rack.
Yeah, if that's the only time you're going to use it, then I'm cool with that, as long as Hydra remains big flippy Hydra.
We'll see. It's,
yeah, but let me know. But there'll probably be much more BattleBots talking when the season fucking starts, which better be sooner rather than later.
So the actual race itself, unsurprisingly, Calypso, which looks fucking rapid, is fucking rapid, and it wins.
Yeah, 20.27 seconds Calypso took to get down the whole stretch of the pool.
Brutosaurus is an easy second, mainly because it gives off such a big wave that unless you can get in front of it, you're doomed.
Yeah, 33.19 for Brutosaurus.
And Roboducky comes third.
2 minutes, 37.13.
So it fails to qualify, and your finalists are K9000 and Calypso, followed by Dippy Flippy and Brutosaurus.
Hydra also swims into a wall and accelerate. I don't even know what happened to it, but he was an absolute afterthought coming into these races anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So, unsurprisingly, the best four robots by far are the four in the final.
Yeah.
Hey guys, Chris here, and we're just going to take a short break to thank our contributors today. The logo was designed by Greg Watt, and the theme song, which you can hear right now, is TechnoX with their song Master Machine.
Here's an advert for a podcast we think you'll enjoy. I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU Podcast and subscribe today.
We move on to Jidge as Julia in Japan, as we look at Rainbow Five, the remote controlled fire engine. That was pretty badass. We also had Jet Freighter, I think it was called. I wasn't entirely sure. And then Julia says, no, this isn't Matilda's new boyfriend. And I was like, ooh, actually named robots from Robot Wars now. Then we see in a robot that could climb stairs. And then they were like, how long do you think this will take to before we will see it in, like, the fire brigade? And then they're like, oh, about another year. So, but, like, there was one part where Julia was just like, oh, it doesn't go very fast, does it?
Yeah.
Because it's meant to be a robot to climb through rubble of, like, earthquakes and stuff. And it's like, well, it doesn't go very fast. And it's like, yeah, we're kind of working on that.
It's almost like it's an early prototype.
I know, like, cut some fucking slack.
So, yeah, after going to Japan and meeting the fire truck and the stair-crawling robot, we have the final of the artificial rope climb.
Yes.
Which...
That's exciting.
Sorry?
Boy, was this one exciting. Because the whole build-up to it
absolutely.
Like, Ed talks to... So it's Ascender versus High Climber. They start talking to Ascender, and then they start talking about the infamous boost button. Ooh.
That might break the robot.
Yeah, so it's like, either it's going to explode or it's going to go fast.
Yeah.
So, right, here we go. Teams, prepare to climb. Power up. Da, 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 da. Ascender flies off. It starts going. It's going really fast. It's going really high. There goes fucking High Climber at once.
Well, what actually happens is Ascender accelerates quicker. High Climber has a really bad getaway.
Yeah, like it dilly-dallies almost.
So there's basically this moment where I'm like, holy shit, this is going to be a close race. Oh, and then 2 seconds, a second. No, it's not. Well, there's this moment of, oh my god, it's actually, this is competitive, and all of a sudden it just, yeah. I mean,
okay. Ascender was like, I'm going to do it, I'm going to make it, but.
No. Absolutely.
That's the thing I wonder is, like, do you think Team High Climber were sitting there like, wait for it. Okay, now go. Blech. And just like, oh, let's let them think that they're going to win for a second.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that's the final of the artificial rope climb. And,
so yeah, this Ed is... Ed does ask Team Ascender, what are you going to do for next year? And he says, more batteries and a double boost button. Double boost button. I like those odds.
Yeah.
I don't remember if Ascender comes back, so we'll find out next season.
Absolutely. So, before that, however, we have to finish this season, including a Nala robot that is entering the long jump after entering the high jump.
Hey, my boy, is Rodney.
So Rodney, which is the Kinex-built robot that replicates an actual human jump.
And so they get the two kids in the team to also replicate what a human jump looks like.
Yes, and they almost jump further. Because... yeah, both jumps. I mean, they look lovely, but they're not great jumps.
Well, I mean, there's a kid jumping. Like, it's like they bent down low and then forgot to like kind of extend, so they also kind of jump while crouched. So,
yep.
They just haven't understood physics yet, or whatever the fuck is. I don't know. Is it physics? Jumping.
I suppose.
Yeah, sure. Let's just go with that. If I'm wrong, don't at me, because I don't give a shit. So Rodney, he was the only person to take on the long jump today, so it's all about the Rodster. Here we go. Power up. Blam! And an earth-shattering 0.92 meters on his first attempt. He gets reset in the start blocks. Here we go. Power up for the second attempt. Blam! And fucking earthquake-inducing 0.81 meters.
I mean, it's better than some entrants in this event achieve.
Yep, because I wrote under it, it done better than Scorpion.
Absolutely. Which, oh, same here.
Yeah, which was that robot, I think, that had... I think you'll find it was a rat trap that I had attached to the bottom of it. Because rat traps are bigger.
Absolutely. So, we then move on to the main event, technically. So they could have had the artificial rope climb finished this episode, which would have been exciting and interesting. But instead, we get the second round / finale of the rocket target event. It took me about a minute to realise, no, this is just the same teams that did the event last time having a second attempt.
Yeah, like they whittled it down from however many were in the last round to these six that were going back at it for yep. One more go. So we had two sets of three. It was Sicosaurus, one of those. MLV and Blue in the first bracket, and then Tomahawk, Windy City, and Titania in the second bracket. And it was a case of all six of them went off, and the closest you got to the target will determine your place on the victory board. So
the actual objective of this is, if you have to fire into the air,
mm-hmm.
And then you have to deploy a parachute. And that is important because the first robot to enter, so the first rocket to enter, it manages to get really close, but its parachute doesn't work, so it doesn't count.
No. Sicarus, their parachute doesn't deploy, and they get 3.65 meters away from the target, and then they start celebrating, like, and then it's because, like, obviously this was recorded at the time, and then the commentary was dubbed over it, so it's just showing these four happy people, like, oh my god, we're so close to the target, and then the overlay of the commentary going, yeah, that's not going to count because the parachute didn't go off. I don't think they've been told that yet, but that's the facts for the people at home. And it's just like, oh.
The logic would be, if we don't have that be a condition, what they'll just do is they'll aim directly at the target like a missile.
Now, see, that's what I want to see. Like, just a bunch of people hurling their expensive-ass rockets at a fucking Techno Games logo.
Yeah.
No parachute.
So, it's...
MLVs, rocket goes up, the chute deploys, and it lands 12.25 meters away from the center, with Blue, the third of the first set, which goes way off target with 72.48 meters away from the target. Oof. So Blue's definitely out of here. Right now you've got MLV as the leader, as we set up the next three, which are Tomahawk, Windy City, and Titania. Tomahawk goes up, lands close with his parachute, 10.10 meters.
So, you were saying, so MLV was the closest at 12.25 meters until the second tranche of entrance.
Mm-hmm. So, Tomahawk then goes up, lands close with the parachute, and lands 10.10 meters away. So, Tomahawk now the rocket to beat. Windy City landed a bit too far away. I didn't even take their distance because I forgot. But it wasn't good. I think they were maybe second
41.
Last.
41.7 metres.
They were second last then. Yep. Titania goes up, gets 26.05. So, with that, that means the gold medal goes to Tomahawk, the silver medal goes to MLV, and the bronze medal goes to Titania.
Yes,
yeah.
Titania, which... proved to be the most successful entity with that name until comedians with an axe to grind decided to attack wokeness.
Oh.
I spent the whole time just going, is this where Andrew Doyle got the name from? so that's the final event, which I'm sure it was lovely to watch live.
Yeah, so much so that they showed that same shot of the guy holding his kid that you could clearly see him moving. Wow, look at that. That they showed for about the past three rocketry events.
Yeah.
I mean, you get that one good shot of like someone in the crowd and then all of a sudden... it's like, oh, it's that same guy again. I don't think he's going to react the exact same every time.
Yeah.
But yeah, bit of a wet fart on what was a pretty awesome show. But yeah, I do totally agree that maybe the rope climb should have been the final.
Particularly the fact that it was, much like the internal combustion sprint, it's the most spectacular of the events.
Yeah. And it's the same thing that we've said throughout the entire run of this series of Techno Games. When it comes to the rocket stuff, it's just not interesting to watch on television. Sure, it would be fucking fantastic to watch live, but it just does not work as a TV sort of spectacle.
Absolutely. So that.
But we're done with it now. That's another year of technical games' rocketry done for, so we don't need to deal with that again.
Absolutely. So that is the end of day 8 of Technogames 2001. Only 2 days left.
Yes.
And this is going to be fun because I watched the next two back to back and they've kind of merged a bit on my notes.
Oh, really? Right, yes. I'll then because I also watched them all back to back.
Yeah.
So, join us next week as we take a look at the penultimate episode of Techno Games 2001, Day 9. Dance for them, Snackies. Dance for them.